Hello and welcome everybody to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Look Back and Animat's Reviews. If this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, well, let me just say, you see that title right over there? Yeah. Okay, you read it, look at it carefully. That's a nice title, isn't it? Okay. But anyways, forget about that title right now, because you're going to be here with me, in which I shall be discussing with you guys about the latest news that has happened this week. And there are a lot of pretty interesting and big news that happened so far, including the full lineup of the Annecy Animation Film Festival. Then afterwards, we will be looking into a little bit of the new poster of The Isle of Dogs. Then afterwards, we will be looking at who shall be performing as the live-action Timon and Pumbaa. And then after that, we will be looking into who is going to be playing the live-action Christopher Robin. And then finally, we will end things off with Animat's Pick of the Week. If you want to go and check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then all you have to do is head on down to Filmbook, that is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. You can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. Okay, so our first story that we have for you today is one of the biggest moments of animation. Now, it's pretty rare that there would be a time when animation would go and truly shine. Sometimes it could be award shows, and also some could say that the biggest night of animation could be the Annie Awards. But there are also some other moments where they would really stand out. And I mean more just the medium itself, not necessarily when there's a big name animated feature that would be released, because we would just be focusing on that one movie. But there is one week in particular where it really is a special moment, and I am talking, of course, about the biggest festival commemorating animation, and that is the Annecy International Animated Film Animation, or Fudge Nabbit. I am screwing up the name, Fudge Nabbit. Oh, where would it be? Oh, where has that title gone? There we go. Oh, I was close, actually. It is the Annecy International Animation Film Festival in Annecy, France. Now, the biggest thing that they have announced so far is that on top of all the independent animated films that they have stated that's going to be in competition and what's going to be out of competition and stuff like that, there's also going to be a big mix of mainstream feature films, big name ones that are going to be released worldwide. So I'm going to go and start things out on that, and might as well start things off with probably the main attraction for this festival, which is actually going to be this year, the world premiere of Despicable Me 3. Now, here's an interesting fact when it comes to the Despicable Me franchise. It's actually kind of a tradition that for every Despicable Me movie released, including the spin-off film Minions, they would always have its world premiere at the Annecy Animation Film Festival. It's always there that they would go and start off, and even Illumination Entertainment are huge supporters of Annecy. Well, especially the fact that considering that one of the animation studios is located in France, so of course it would play a big part into it. But on top of that, not only would you get the world premiere of it, but you would also get the national premiere. So you would get movies like Captain Underpants and also Cars 3 making their premiere in Annecy, France. But also at the same time, you also get Lou making a full-on appearance. So you would also go and get that one as well. But considering that Pixar is going to be making an appearance with Cars 3 and Lou, they are also going to be bringing in some of the people who worked on Coco. So let me just read here a little bit on my source on Variety. Director Lee Unkrich and producer Darla K. Anderson, who previously teamed up on Toy Story 3, will present, along with co-director Adrian Molina, footage from Coco. So they're not going to show the full movie. They're only going to show clips of it. It's not entirely complete, so at least you would get a little bit of a snippet. So they're pretty much mainly there for Cars 3, but they're also there to present some of their other stuff as well, including Lou and Coco. But also at the same time, they do offer a lot of stuff from the International Animation Film Market, or MIFA, as they would call it. And there are some other stuff that they would present in the MIFA campus. One big one, actually, is something right here. And it's actually pretty interesting, like, just for you to listen. Guillermo del Toro will host Annecy's inaugural MIFA campus. Keynotes taken in Christine Belson, president of Sony Pictures Animation, Eric Coleman, VP at Disney Television Animation, and veteran Disney director-animator Glenn Keane. On top of that, you also got some appearances from Nickelodeon also. Well, both Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network will be making an appearance, where it also stated for Nickelodeon that Chris Savino and Joe Murray will lead a Y Talk entitled From Rocco's Modern Life to the Loud House. But on top of that, you also get a lot of notoriety from independent films and some smaller stuff as well. You also have Jorge Gutierrez, who, as you guys know, as the director of The Book of Life and also the creator of El Tigre, is going to be coming in and showing a little bit of work in progress for his next movie, which actually does have a title, Kung Fu Space Punch, and yes, this is also going to be coming from Real Effects Animation. But on top of that, in terms of the more independent animated films, you got a big name one that a lot of people are saying that is highly anticipated, called Zombillennium, a comedic horror movie set in a Hollywood theme park adapted by Arthur Pins and Alexis Ducord from Pines' own raved about comic book series. And then you also got another one called The Big Bad Fox and Other Tales, which is going to be made by one of the directors of Ernest and Celestine, Benjamin René. And then you also got another On Animation Studios appearance. On Animation is going to be the people who worked on Zombillennium, but they're also going to be there for Tall Tales, the magical garden of Artoon Krings. And then you also have, there is another one, I believe. Yes, this is a big one. You're going to see a bit of work in progress from The Breadwinner, which is going to be made by Nora Twomey, which you guys may know as one of the directors of The Secret of Kells. And this is a movie that is getting some notoriety, considering that one of the executive producers is actually Angelina Jolie, on top of many, many other feature films. And apparently, you're actually going to see the premiere of a movie directed by Tony Bancroft, which is called Animal Crackers. And that is actually going to be in competition at this year's Annecy. And this is actually going to be pretty interesting this year, I must say. Definitely something that animation fans would be dying to go and check out, no matter what the subject would be. Like, rather if they would go into the MIFA campus to see Guillermo del Toro talk alongside hearing notes from Christine Belson, Glenn Keane, or Eric Coleman. But I think the main ticket events, like the ones that people are really going to go and check out, easily, like I said, the main event, Despicable Me 3, considering that it is the world premiere and you're going to see a lot of people from the press that are going to be flocking in so that they could go and do their little reviews before it would go and come out officially in theaters on June 30th. And then after that, you also got Coco, considering that, like, that one, I think it's easy and safe to say that that's probably the more anticipated Pixar film than Cars 3 so far, because at least with Coco, we're getting a lot more surprises. And with Cars 4, Cars 3, oh God, I apologize. I'm sorry if I scared anyone by mentioning that there would be a Cars 4. No, but when it comes to Cars 3, we already know like what's going to be coming up. And so far from, we could tell that it's going definitely in the Rocky 4 direction. So yeah, it's not necessarily going to be that surprising. But with Coco, this is going to be a brand new original Pixar film, which everybody adores. Like, this is what Pixar is made for. And like, plus the fact that they are bringing in Lee Unkrich, Darla K. Anderson, and Adrian Molina to go and talk a little bit about it, along with seeing an exclusive clip. Like, that's going to be pretty big right there. And along with plenty of other stuff, I mean, it has such a large variety of what, like, any animation fan would offer, not just for movies, but also for TV shows, where you do have Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon making an appearance in there. But also, at the same time, you also got a lot of the independent films, and you got a lot of big name ones as well that are going to be in there, or at least big name in terms of the independent field. And so far, like, the ones that are already highlighted, you got Zombillennium, which already based on a popular comic book. You got The Big Bad Fox and Other Tales, and you also got The Breadwinners, which chances are, like, those are probably the ones that would have a very high chance to go and get an Oscar nomination for Best Animated Feature, you know, be that representative of the indie films and follow in the same lines of, like, some of the other films beforehand. And also, I just want to mention right now that there is actually a very high chance that there would be an animated film coming from Annecy that might actually get a nomination for Best Animated Feature at the Oscars. Because even this year, with the Best Animated Feature category, we had, what was it? My Life as a Zucchini. And that film was probably the biggest thing that ever came out of last year's Annecy, basically from last year's Annecy. And maybe Zombillennium could be that film, considering that that movie is the one that is officially in competition. So who knows what could go from there. But yeah, it does seem pretty exciting to go and check out all the big name animated films. And who knows what could probably happen in there. It seems a lot of fun. And like, you'll probably meet up with some of the big names, not just in film, like not just in animation, but also in filmmaking. So it's going to be pretty interesting so far. So if you guys are excited, and if you actually do live around the France area and want to go and check out Annecy, or you want to keep your heads up and like go all ears on what's going to be going on at the film festival, then just stay tuned between June 12th and June 17th when Annecy will get a lot more animated. Okay, so for our next story right over here, this is something that's a little bit small that was just released, but it did bring up a little bit more information, and it would give us a little bit more hype. And I am talking, of course, about the Isle of Dogs, or just Isle of Dogs, actually. If you don't know what that is, this is actually going to be Wes Anderson's next movie, and it's actually going to be his second stop-motion animated feature after his first take on it with the highly acclaimed Fantastic Mr. Fox. And what pretty much happened was that Fox Searchlight released the poster of it. And it is a pretty minimal poster, but it really does highlight what we could be getting ourselves into. But what is actually very significant about this poster right here, actually, is that not only does it give us a little bit of an idea of what this movie would be about, but it actually has a release date, and it's actually going to be pretty soon. In fact, as I'm doing this podcast right now, it's going to be released somewhere next year on April 2018. Now, when I look into this poster, like, the main thing that you're going to see is the huge name that's a part of the cast. And what's very significant about Isle of Dogs is that it actually has a massive star-studded cast. You'll find at least several big-name celebrities that you're probably familiar with. Not just that, but also some Japanese actors as well. Like, you got Bryan Cranston, you got Edward Norton, you got Bill Murray, you got Jeff Goldblum, you got Scarlett Johansson, you got Liev Schreiber, you got Yoko Ono, you got Fisher Stevens, you got Francis McDormand, and then, like, in terms of the Japanese people, you got Koichi Nomura, you got, Akira Takayama, and you got so much more. And what's actually pretty cool what they did is that, like, in red, you got the name of the celebrities, but on top, you also got their name, but in Japanese writing. And even with Isle of Dogs, it's written in Japanese just right behind it. So, like, in big red letters, you got the kanji version of the title, and then, like, just like in black with yellow font, it's actually written the English title, just Isle of Dog. Just Isle of Dog. Yes, it's a story of one dog in one island, and that's it. No, but that would actually make a pretty interesting animated short, actually. Well, technically, like, they did just one man in one island, and that's called the Red Turtle. But anyways, though, going back to what I was saying, you actually do have a little bit of imagery as well. Right under everything, right under all the big names, you actually do see a bunch of dogs who are looking at this person who looks like just came down, like, just arrived on the island through a parachute. Now, if I may read a little bit onto the storyline, like, they did actually reveal a little bit of what it's about in here on my source in Variety. Where would that be? Ah, yes, here. Okay. It apparently, the animated film is set in Japan and follows a boy's odyssey to find his dog. So the boy is pretty much going out to find his dog, but then he made it into an island of dogs. But it has also stated right here, Anderson has stated that his vision for the film is heavily influenced by the works of Japanese filmmaker Akira Kurosawa, as well as the Rankin Bass stop motion Christmas specials. So you never know what that would mean. Like, it could be a little bit more Christmassy, but at the same time, though, it could have some Japanese filmmaking right over here. And when it comes to Wes Anderson and the way that he would adapt his films, and, like, when you look back at something like Fantastic Mr. Fox, like, he could definitely get that job done. Like, he knows how to pretty much make his own thing, but also have the feeling of the original source material or what it's kind of based on. Like, with Fantastic Mr. Fox, you could definitely tell that it is a Wes Anderson movie. No problem there whatsoever. And he added a lot of his own things compared to the book, where, for the most part, the story is rather short, and even the first half is all dedicated to Boggs, Bunsen, Bean. But with Fantastic Mr. Fox, though, the Wes Anderson movie, like, he is doing his own craft, but the story, like, the way that it's told, in a way, does feel a little bit like it is a Roald Dahl story. It still has that sense of Roald Dahl whimsiness, and a bit of his storytelling is a bit crafted in there, along with the filmmaking of Wes Anderson. So what we could probably expect from Isle of Dogs is that it is going to be Japanese influence. So we'll see not just Wes Anderson filmmaking, but just probably some Japanese storytelling as well. Maybe a little bit in the veins of what's been done with Kubo and the Two Strings. But, well, what's going to be funny is also the element of the Rankin Bass stop motion Christmas specials. Maybe they'll go a little bit more into the fantasy route with it. Like, we are going to have a lot of talking dogs, so who knows what area that they could go with right there, but it is going to be pretty interesting. But one thing I know for sure that it's going to be involved is that we're going to see a lot of really nice stop motion animation, a lot of like purely crafted stop motion animation, even considering that when you look back at Fantastic Mr. Fox, 99% of that movie is completely stop motion. Like all the special effects, all the characters and everything that you see in there is completely done in stop motion. The only time that they had to crank up anything that would involve computers or anything like that would be when all the characters have been drained out because of the massive flood of cider. Like, it's only that scene, and that's pretty much it. Everything else was purely painstaking stop motion right there. So maybe we're going to see that craft appear again in Isle of Dogs. But either way, this is definitely right up there as one of my more anticipated animated films of 2018. Like, just immediately right up there with Incredibles 2 and Ralph Breaks the Internet. Like, this is going to be so awesome. Ever since Fantastic Mr. Fox, and I'm sure that for many animation fans, it is the introduction to Wes Anderson, and I'm already a big fan of him. Like, definitely his filmmaking craft is absolutely fascinating. So, it is definitely great right there. So, if you guys are excited as I am to know more about what the Isle of Dogs has in store for us, then all you have to do is just wait until April 20th, 2018 for the movie's release. Okay, so for our next story right over here, yeah, honestly, I look at it and I don't really know how to feel. I'll just say right now that my feelings for this news is exactly my same feelings for this movie that it is talking about. And I am talking, of course, about the Lion King live-action reboot. Now, of course, the big story this week that everybody knows about is regarding the release date, which, don't worry, guys, I shall get to later. But they also release another big piece of news about it, and that apparently Disney already got Timon and Pumbaa, so we already know who's going to be the live-action Timon and Pumbaa. And believe it or not, they actually got Bill Eichner and Seth Rogen. So going into my source here in the wrap, where would it be? Fudge Nabbit. I lost my track. Ah, there we go. Okay, so apparently what's going to happen is that... wait a minute. Right over here. Okay, sorry, I got lost a bit. Seth Rogen is going to be the guy that will take on the role of Pumbaa, while Eichner is going to be playing as Timon. So they already got a big responsibility. Hold on a sec. I just need a... I need to go on IMDb for a second because I just need a quick reminder for myself. Hold on a sec. I just need to remember some of the original actors, though. Yeah, I know. Like, I'm kind of derping in public, but... hold on. There we go. Okay, yes. Right over here. So basically Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner are pretty much following the footsteps of Nathan Lane and Ernie Sabella to go and play those roles. Now, when it comes to the full cast of the Lion King live-action remake, we don't fully know who else is going to be in there. We only know two other people that are among the cast. So far, we know that Donald Glover is going to be playing Simba, and that James Earl Jones will be reprising his role as Mufasa. Now, beforehand, I've heard talks that apparently Disney is having a chat with Beyoncé that maybe she could be appearing in the film as Nala. That would actually be a pretty cool idea, but who knows what's going to happen there. But yeah, so far, we got four people confirmed. Donald Glover, James Earl Jones, Seth Rogen, and Billy Eichner. And so far, when it comes to this piece of news right here, it is really mixed. And I mean, just this whole idea of the Lion King remake is very mixed. Where on one hand, a lot of people are really pissed off that Disney is just continuing this endless stream of live action reboots and somehow they have to go with the Lion King. But then on the other hand, people are curious and intrigued by it and might be more open that it could actually turn out to be really good because they actually got the director in this, which is Jon Favreau. And we already know that Jon Favreau did an amazing job with The Jungle Book, doing something that even to this day feels a little bit impossible to do, which is actually make a Disney live-action reboot that is actually really good, like pretty much in the levels as the original. So, like, there are some people who could actually trust him to actually make something that could maybe be in line with something like the original Lion King. Who knows what could happen? But going into the cast specifically of Billy Eichner and Seth Rogen, I'm going to be very honest with you guys. Like, I can see this go really flat. Like, immediately, it is easy to just say, oh, this is just a really stupid idea. But I am there's also another part of me that feels like maybe this can work. Like, I can actually see this working for some reason. Like, when you would think about Seth Rogen, for example, like, I'm sure you guys have at least seen one performance by Seth Rogen. Like, especially considering in animated features, he has already appeared as Mantis in the Kung Fu Panda films. And then there was also last year's Sausage Party. And when you do think about Seth Rogen, like, if he would tone down his comedy to make it more family-friendly, where, like, he would just drop the weed and, like, his crude humor can be toned down a little bit less, where, yeah, like I said, drop the weed, drop the alcohol, and, like maybe focus on something else other than getting laid and stuff like that. Like, I can see Seth Rogen pull off Pumbaa. Like, I can see that work. Like, there's almost a bit of similarities between Pumbaa and Seth Rogen in a way. Like, there is a bit of that connection. But as for Billy Eichner, that honestly, I don't really know. I'm not saying that he cannot be Timon, but honestly, this is something, like, I tried watching some Billy on the Streets to see if, like, he can play as Timon, but honestly, I'm having some difficulties. It's just that, I don't know, I can't really make that connection yet. This is honestly, like, even overall, it's just going to be something that I would need to see a clip to see if they can actually pull it off. If maybe they can do something like Ewan McGregor with Lumiere, where he's absolutely not my first choice to play as the character, but could probably turn out a pretty good performance where he would at least have the spirit of the character. And maybe that's at least what I am hoping for with Billy Eichner and Seth Rogen, that they could actually have that same spirit as Nathan Lane and Ernie Sabella. Who knows what's going to happen right there? It's highly there's no way that they're going to replace Ernie Sabella and Nathan Lane, but honestly, at least pull off something that could, you know, be satisfying at the very least. Something that, like, we would get in the Lion King Broadway show, where, yeah, they could sound different, but they can capture who these characters are. So, I don't know. I do feel like we need to have this wait and see attitude on this one. And, like, even this whole movie in general, I do feel like it's totally a wait and see kind of film. Like, you know, it's going to be extremely difficult for this to be as good as the original Lion King, considering that we are talking about one of the greatest animated features of all time. But at least something that is, you know, if this remake at the very least can be up in the levels as the Jungle Book remake, then I think we'll be satisfied with it. And hopefully things can turn out well. I don't know. Who knows? But the only thing I could do right now is just wish the best of luck for Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner. And hopefully they can actually turn out something pretty good and something that would be like Timon and Pumbaa. Okay, now for our next story, we actually got another casting for another Disney live action reboot, But for this one, my concerns are not necessarily for who they picked to play which character, but my problem is more about the movie itself. Now, believe it or not, Disney is actually not done with Ewan McGregor. Yes, now, just recently, actually, Ewan McGregor did perform as Lumiere in Beauty and the Beast, and personally, I feel like he surprisingly did a great job. He sounds absolutely nothing like Jerry Orbach, but he did capture the spirit of the character, even if it did look like a piece of CGI monstrosity right over there. At the very least, Ewan McGregor did pull off a great performance as Lumiere. But here's the thing, though. Apparently, he's going to be appearing in another Disney live-action reboot, and this is another really strange choice, because believe it or not, Ewan McGregor is now going to be Christopher Robin. Now, some of you might be wondering, why? Isn't this guy a little bit too old for playing Christopher Robin? Well, number one, yes, absolutely. He's not freaking 4 years old. He's kind of like, I don't know, you multiply that by a lot, maybe. Nah, but anyways, though, because the thing is, Disney wants to do a new take on Winnie the Pooh, which is called Disney's Christopher Robin, which is actually very coincidental considering that pretty soon we could actually be getting another live-action Winnie the Pooh movie, which actually features Margot Robbie as A.A. Milne's wife, I believe. It's called Goodbye Christopher Robin. You could correct me on this, but I think it's going to be released somewhere at the end of 2017, I think. But anyways, going back to Disney's Christopher Robin, what they want to do is that it's more of a sequel in a way. Imagine if you take Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland and you apply that with Winnie the Pooh. Because the thing is right here is that now Christopher Robin is all grown up. Specifically though, in my source here in The Hollywood Reporter, it stated that McGregor will play the adult Christopher Robin who has lost his sense of imagination and is a businessman focused on work and success. And the plot has already stated that now because Christopher Robin is an adult, it is up to Winnie the Pooh and his friends to go and get Christopher Robin to return to his childhood mental state where he has his sense of wonder, his sense of imagination. So that's basically what's going on right over here. And even though I already stated that it does sound a little bit like Alice in Wonderland, when I read that little synopsis about who Christopher Robin is in that movie, there's one part of my brain that just immediately clicked, and I just popped out just saying, "Holy crap, this is Hook." Yeah, you guys remember the Steven Spielberg film with Robin Williams and Dustin Hoffman? It sounds exactly like that, where you got the main character who is, like, in the classic literature, is this, is this little boy, you know, full of youth, full of wonder, full of imagination, and now he's, like, all grown up, and it's up to the other characters to come in and try to get him to remember who he is, to have that sense of wonder, to have that sense of childhood, and all that kind of stuff, to bring his youth back. I guess in a way, just to give Christopher Robin a midlife crisis. Nah, but seriously though, like, it just sounds exactly like that. And I don't know why we need another Hook, but this time for Winnie the Pooh. In fact, why do we need a live action Winnie the Pooh film in the veins of, like, the other Disney live action reboots? I mean, for me, I feel like it does make sense if you want to do something like Goodbye Christopher Robin, where you do a story with A.A. Milne and the real Christopher Robin and stuff like that. Okay, that I understand. But this one right over here, I feel like you're pretty much retelling a story that's already been done, and especially that it does follow a bit of the same footsteps as Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland, it's kind of copying in a way. I don't really understand, like, why do you need to go and do this? And especially, oh god, like, I dread to think about the CGI characters that they have to pull off with characters like Pooh, Tigger, Eeyore, Rabbit, Owl, Kanga, Roo, Piglet, and all those guys right over there. And it actually does make me wonder about the casting of the other people. Like, I'm sure it could be a little bit similar with what they did with the 2011 film, where they do have some other people working on some characters. Like, they got Tom Kenny as Rabbit, they got Craig Ferguson as Owl, and all that kind of stuff. But it does make me wonder that, like, are they going to go and find big-name celebrities for those characters? Or are they still going to keep Jim Cummings to be Winnie the Pooh and Tigger? Because that guy has been doing it for, like, a few decades now. So do they want to break tradition, or do they want to do something new with it? I don't know. Like, who knows what they could go with it. But I just want to mention right now, though, that there is another piece of news that did come with it, and maybe it could shine a little bit of light on this project right over here, and that is the fact that they hired screenwriter Alison Schroeder to go and work on a new version of the script. Beforehand, they did had a script before, which the screenplay was written by Alex Ross Perry, and the draft was written by Tom McCarthy. But now, Alison Schroeder is going to be working on a new version of the script. And what is interesting about Miss Schroeder here is that she was recently nominated for an Oscar for her work in Hidden Figures. So maybe she could do something a little bit special with it. Maybe, go and amp up the quality. But honestly, in terms of the storyline, I'm not really sold here. Honestly, it's just, it's something that doesn't really make sense. Why are you trying to retell Hook, but with Winnie the Pooh characters? And especially considering that it is Winnie the Pooh, it's something that doesn't necessarily have villains per se. Or I guess they're just going to focus on Ewan McGregor, like, trying to make him, feel like a kid again, or something like that. I don't know. And especially the fact that, like, trying to have adults feel like kids again, like, that's a plot that's already been done so many times. So, unfortunately, I would have to say that when it comes to this film, yeah, this is in my category of Disney live-action reboots that I'm not necessarily excited for. I don't really see much of the point to really go and make this one, other than to really capitalize on Winnie the Pooh, really. It's just, I don't know. Now, Disney didn't necessarily put in a release date on it just yet, but who knows how this is going to turn out. Maybe this will work, maybe this won't, but the only thing that I could say so far is just, oh, bother. And now it is time that we shall end things off with Animat's Pick of the Week. And this week, oh boy, I might as well go and save the best story for last. Because when it comes to the list of announcements that has happened this week, I mean, sure, there are a lot of them that animation fans are excited, but in terms of the average Joe, it's going to be a tougher egg to go and crack. Like, sure, the news about the Annecy International Animation Film Festival is going to be pretty exciting for any animation enthusiast, but for the average Joe, they don't even know what that film festival is in the first place. They probably don't even know where Annecy is. But with this piece of news right over here, oh boy, did people get excited. Anybody and everybody were freaking out with what Disney has in store in the future. And the big thing is that Disney has officially announced their entire schedule going up to 2021. Basically, just the things that they are predicting so far. And, most of the stuff that they have added in are a lot of untitled projects. So we don't necessarily know what they are. And they already placed in a lot of them that are animated and some of them that are live action from Marvel, from Lucasfilms, and all that kind of stuff. And who knows, maybe in the future we could be seeing some changes as well. But the biggest thing is actually what Disney has in store for 2019. Now, there are already a few films that are announced in there, but the ones that they have added, oh my god, people are immediately excited for 2019 to come out. Because the three big movies that they have added for that year is that on May 24th, that is going to be when we shall be experiencing Star Wars Episode 9. No, for this one, they decided not to go and release it in December, just like what they did with The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and The Last Jedi. They're just going to go and put it in the beginning of summer, just to really kick things off for the summer 2019 lineup. And then afterwards, on July 19th, that is going to be the time when we are actually going to be seeing the live-action remake of The Lion King. And already in terms of that film, it's already getting major news. It's already getting massive hype onto it. So already they are in a massive fast track on it. It's a high priority, so they have already put in a schedule. And then on November 27th, Disney is actually going to be putting up Frozen 2. Yes, it seems that Disney is finally confident with what they got so far. It is a pretty good sign that they do have a script that they are comfortable with. So now they are all set and ready to go and put in a release date for Frozen 2 to be released at the end of 2019. But on top of that, there is also another big movie that they have scheduled, but that's going to be a little bit later, actually, which is going to be on July 10th, 2020, when Disney put in the fifth Indiana Jones film. So that is going to be when that movie shall be scheduled. Now, a lot of people might be thinking, okay, now this schedule does seem pretty too good to be true, but is there a catch to it? Is there something that happened that could sound a little bit disappointing or like, that might seem not as good as, like, the major announcements of the release dates of Star Wars Episode 9, The Lion King, and Frozen 2. Well, that actually would come onto the 2018 lineup, where they had to do some significant changes. Apparently, Disney does seem pretty excited for Ava DuVernay's A Wrinkle in Time. So what they did is that they decided to move it up a little bit from its April 2018 release to March 9th, 2018. But there is a little bit of a problem. That was the original release date for Ralph Breaks the Internet, Wreck-It Ralph 2. Well, the thing with that is that Disney decided they're going to delay that from the beginning of 2018 to the end of 2018, where they're going to release that on November 21st. But there's also another problem with that, you see. The thing is with November 21st is that that was the original release date for Gigantic, which is Disney's new take on Jack and the Beanstalk. Well, that's probably the biggest downside that came with this entire scheduling is that with Gigantic, they're actually going to be delaying that by 2 years, where now Gigantic is going to be released on November 25th, 2020. So technically, that would mean that in terms of original animated features from Walt Disney Animation Studios, we're no longer going to be getting them in the 2010 decade. It looks like Moana is going to be the last one, and what's going to be coming afterwards from the studio is going to be sequels, right? like Wreck-It Ralph 2 and Frozen 2. And on top of that, like we've already gotten, like I said before, like a whole bunch of untitled projects that they've added in, a whole bunch of live action reboots, a lot of Marvel movies, and of course a lot of Disney and Pixar films that they put up, where interestingly enough, it is going to be once a year for both of them, but also in 2019, or is it 2019? No, in 2020, it looks like we're going to be getting two Pixar films on March 13th, 2020, and June 19th, 2020. So that's a total of three animated films, kind of like what we had in 2016, or kind of like a reverse of 2016, where now it's two Pixar films and one from Disney Animation. But I'm going to say, overall, yeah, even though it's 2 years from now, everybody is pretty much declaring that Disney just won 2019. Like, they've already dominated that year with already what are some of the most anticipated movies for that time. I mean, first off, we got Star Wars Episode 9, which is most likely going to be the final piece of the trilogy of the adventures of characters like Rey, Finn, Poe, and BB-8. So that's already big right there. And then we got The Lion King live action remake, which I already said that it's already getting massive news every time something would come up, including the recent news that Billy Eichner and Seth Rogen are going to be playing Timon and Pumbaa in that film. And in fact, it's actually getting even more news than Mary Poppins Returns and Mulan, actually. That movie is actually getting a lot more hype than any of the live-action reboots that are going to be released before. So with that said, it could actually have a chance that it could follow in the same footsteps, box office-wise, as The Jungle Book or even Beauty and the Beast. So that's going to be a big one right there. And then you also got Frozen 2, which is the sequel to what is currently the highest grossing animated feature of all time. So yeah, the hype is definitely going to be real on this one. And I mean, when it comes to Frozen, like, it already made a massive impact on our culture, or at least it made a massive impact in the 2010 culture, the same way The Lion King made a massive impact to 90s culture. So yeah, it's definitely one of the biggest names of, like, one of the biggest animated films of the decade, hands down. And the fact that we are going to get a follow-up with it, yeah, I'm sure a lot of people are definitely going to be excited. But also the only downside with it is that you're also going to get a lot of the haters that are going to be constantly complaining in any comment section that they could find, going like, Frozen is underrated. Oh, I hate Frozen. Okay, guys, I mean, I understand about the over exaggeration of the marketing on that film, like all the merchandising, and that every corner you would turn, you would always find Frozen. That I understand, but trying to smack this movie just because it's popular, like, honestly, don't you have anything better to do with your lives? I'm just asking. But going back to the 2019 lineup, it's not just those films that makes it why Disney is going to be dominating 2019. There's already the other stuff that they have announced on it. Like, they already have Toy Story 4. They already have Captain Marvel. And they already have an Avengers movie that's going to be scheduled at that time. So it is going to be pretty exciting, and it's going to be pretty huge for Disney. And also, I just want to mention right now for the films for 2018, I mean, sure, it is a bit disappointing that we would have to wait a little bit longer for Wreck-It Ralph 2, and we have to wait a lot longer for Gigantic. What is actually interesting to note, though, is that Disney already has it in the bag in terms of 2018, because a lot of the big movies that they have for there are already announced in the first place. Like, they already got the live-action reboot of Mulan, the sequel to Mary Poppins with Mary Poppins Returns, and then you also got some of the other stuff, like you got Avengers Infinity War, of course. You got Ant-Man and the Wasp. You got the Han Solo movie directed by the Lego Movie's Phil Lord and Chris Miller. You got the Black Panther. There's also A Wrinkle in Time. But especially, probably their biggest movie for 2018 is hands down going to be The Incredibles 2. So yeah, like, 2018 is going to be a pretty good year as well, but most likely 2019 is going to be the one that everybody's going to be focusing on. Now, interestingly enough, though, as for many of the other movies that they do have untitled, they are pretty interesting to look at, and especially with the way that Disney has already scheduled four more live-action reboots in 2018 and in 2019 that don't have a title yet. There is one that they have coming up on August 3rd, 2018. And then the others, they would have March 29th, 2019. They also got another one for November 8th, 2019, and also December 20th, 2019. So for that year, that's already four of them if you also include The Lion King. But considering the ones that have been getting some press, the one that we are seeing that it looks like Disney is putting some traction on it, like, we could be expecting some of the ones that we have been hearing about to be scheduled in there. We could be hearing the news that maybe they'll put in Tim Burton's Dumbo, or they'll put in that Aladdin live-action reboot, or the Tinkerbell movie with Reese Witherspoon, or even Christopher Robin with Ewan McGregor. So those movies could be for that time. So who knows what could possibly happen. And on top of that, you do have some other movies that have already been announced, like Dwayne Johnson's The Jungle Cruise. Like that one, apparently the production is going to begin next spring. So chances are, like, maybe we're not going to get it immediately soon, but I could be expecting that maybe it's going to be scheduled somewhere either 2019 or most likely somewhere in 2020. I wouldn't be surprised if it's actually the latter. Who knows where that's going to go right there. Now, in terms of any other news, what I'm expecting, honestly, is that, yeah, chances are we're going to get a lot more information when D23 is going to be coming up. That's when we're going to learn a lot more about a lot of these films. Most likely, we're going to get a lot more information in terms of the films for 2018 and even for 2019. But maybe we'll get a good idea of what's going to be coming up in their lineup. But yeah, this is pretty much huge. And already, like, everybody's anticipating for what Disney has in store for 2019. And who knows? Like, 2018 is going to be good. But we'll just have to wait and see how it goes. And not to mention that, like, even this year, as I'm recording this in 2017, we still got a lot of big stuff that's going to be coming up, including, of course, The Last Jedi, the third Thor film with Thor Ragnarok. We got Pixar's Coco, and even what seems to be the final Pirates of the Caribbean film, Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Men Tell No Tale. Or I think it's the last one, at least that's what the trailers are saying. But yeah, so that's pretty much all that they got right over here. And yeah, Disney's going to be a massive powerhouse in terms of movies. So we'll just have to wait and see how it goes with what they got in the future. And that will be all that I've got for this week. So I just want to say thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can go and find more of my work on film-book.com. All you have to do is just search for Mathieu Brunet or the Animation Podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at Animat505. And if you have listened to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind doing us a little favor and rate and review this episode? That would be lovely. And if you have listened to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that little like button on our video and leave us a little comment on your thoughts on the news this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening, and until next time, see you later, dudes.